Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. It's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, coming to you live on Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio. And we're broadcasting to you tonight, as we always do, from Blog Talk Radio Network. Here Be Monsters studio has generously given Mummy a venue so that she can do this podcast every Monday night. And my producer and the founder of Here Be Monsters studio, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, is with us again, as always. Our producer, our founder, and our muse, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Fair to Midland. Doing it good.
Is that Midland, Texas, perhaps? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. They're singing bolts and legs out there.
I want to tell all our listeners that our show, as every week, tonight and every week, is brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, on your laptop. Check it out tonight. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. They are our sponsors, DaughtersOfIsis.com. And we are also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. And you can advertise on our show as well. If you're interested, please contact Gwendolyn or myself on our Facebook pages. Tonight, I want to mention to you that our phone number for the show is 323-784-9639. Pull out your Crayola crayons. I know that the popular color for 2020 is root beer. So pull out your root beer Crayola crayon and write down this number, 323-784-9639. 323 is the pointer, middle finger, and ring finger on its side, then 2, and then 3 again, 784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. We look forward to your calls. Mummy has been out of the circuit lately because I have been moving. Yes, it seems inconceivable. Mummy is the fifth face of Mount Rushmore, but here once in New York City. You may think of me as much as New York as you did of Dolly Levi and Hello Dolly or Mame Dennis in Mame. Mummy is the third great character woman of New York. But Mummy had to move. My husband, George, found work and is in Pennsylvania. And we had no choice but to pack up and move. So Mummy packed up her Charles Foster Kane basements and storage rooms of crates and everything, Citizen Kane, like the end of Citizen Kane. And I packed up 800 crates and barrels and boxes and suitcases and everything and transported them to this suburb just outside of Philadelphia, and I'm beginning to set up as much as I can. Sadly, much of my possessions, my really dear possessions, were broken. Some really major breakage things and are missing, so perhaps things were even taken. But the move from the one storage space to another was a catastrophe, and this one has proved to be a catastrophe as well. Just a beautiful little brass and marble ocean liner vanity table. It was on an ocean liner from the 1920s or 30s, and it was brass and marble and had been on an ocean liner, and Mummy got it many, many years ago, and it was two-tiered. It had a little top with a gallery around it, a railing around the top, and then a railing around the shelf underneath. So sweet. It was in the bathroom, and it was just priceless, and it was completely destroyed. So, and there's other things that are missing. I dare not even go into it now, but every day I open boxes and I'm delighted when I find a survivor and an old friend. And I'm heartbroken when I find an old friend that has perished in the journey. I'm going to answer questions before Gwendolyn and I start speaking. First of all, darlings, you all 5,000 of you, and then all the followers and all the kibitzers and the glamons and the whatever, you all ask me questions like, where are you moving? Did you move? It's like, darlings, I'm Sybil Brunson. First of all, are you on my page at all? Do you listen to the Tourette's? I don't even ask you to read anymore. I don't expect you to even sound out letters and put letters together in words like any kindergartner can. I don't expect you to be able to read, although I posted all over the place, visuals, photographs, YouTube, everything, messages about I'm moving to Pennsylvania, I'm moving. And you keep writing this. It's as if you retain nothing. Then many of you will listen to the actual Tourette's, where I state what I'm doing, why there's a moving van in front of my house, why there are boxes, why the apartment is empty, and you will pose the question, are you moving? Is your apartment empty? Wait, why is your apartment empty? Aren't you in New York anymore? It's like, darlings, if this is the level of people that are registering and voting, I'm extremely disturbed. I'm very heartbroken for Joe Biden right now. I expect you people to be a little more perspicacious. Perspicacious, P-E-R-S. Okay, look it up. And I'm hoping that you're going to try and retain information from one moment to the next. You can't all be suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. Not all of you. So I'm really pleading with you. And when you see me announce that I'm going to do a show like tonight, which I repeatedly did today and yesterday, I want you to listen carefully. I've moved out of New York. Yes, I thank you. Thank you, Snarkers. Yes, I am registering to vote. Thank you. I'm Sybil Brunson. I don't need you to effing tell me to register to vote. Who do you think I am? What do you need? You think I'm some tooch?
Didn't you march for women's vote?
Okay, I'm just telling you right now, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, my producer, is producing a show with Sybil Brunson, not Simple Luncheon. Okay, I'm Sybil Brunson. Okay, I'm not Simple Luncheon. Okay, I know to register to vote. Thank you, jackass. Okay, it's like, I mean,
Mommy,
I have these people stalking me going, Mommy, I hope you remember to wipe your ass. It's like, yeah, I'll try. It's like, what the hell? It's just, Jesus Christ. I have
COVID,
no idea.
Honey, it's COVID. People have real strange minds right now.
No, it actually isn't. No. But Gwendolyn, this has been going on for a couple of years, long before the move, long before COVID. I would have people read a post and then ask a question in the post that was just there. I'm wearing a green dress today for this ladies' luncheon. Sybil, what color was the dress you wore to the ladies' luncheon? Judas Priest, go up two paragraphs, third sentence, five words from the right-hand margin, green dress. You know, no wonder I post things like the Debbie Downer thing. Do you have Debbie Downers on your Facebook page? Anyway, back to this. I am registering to vote. I'm going and getting a new photograph at the Rite Aid tomorrow. I'm going to go get my Pennsylvania ID, my enhanced one, even though we've been given an entire year for a deadline on that. I'm going to get an enhanced one. I'm going to I'm going to take that ID and I'm going to go register to vote. I've got my pieces of mail and my thank you for saying I have to bring mail and my birth certificate and everything. My birth certificate is a stone tablet, which I will be carrying. It's 15 pounds, but I will try and fit it in my Jane Marple carpet bag. And so I'm getting it all put together. Thank you for your concern. Thank you for repeatedly asking me questions. I am not, now I'm going to make this announcement, Gwendolyn will bear with me. I am not giving my exact street address. People found out where I lived in New York, and they found out where George lived in New York, and we were on the third floor. So we were within eyesight of people. We weren't on the top floor of our building or anything like that. So we were on the third floor, and it was charming to have people walk by our intersection at 105 and West End, or down the block a little bit to my kitchen window, which was almost a floor-to-ceiling window. It was a massive window by the stove, and wave or smile or give us a thumbs up or hold up a sign saying, we love you, we heart you, etc. So that was charming. we also were surrounded by 8 million witnesses. So it's very hard, unless you're Kitty Genovese in 1959, it's very hard to be murdered or attacked in New York City because there are too many witnesses. But out here in the suburbs, and I'm in this very sweet town along the main line, there are crickets outside. And although there are houses around, this could turn into the clutter farm in the book In Cold Blood. So we're going to withhold our exact street address and all our information. George is on QVC and he has stalkers already. He's never had this experience before. He's been on the Today Show and on Broadway things and everything. But now that he's on QVC and he's on at all hours, he has stalkers who wish him well, and some would like to wish him so much well that they would like to eat him. That's how it is to be a celebrity, is that some people love you so much that they would like to eat pieces of you. I refer to Jeffrey Dahmer, who loved every one of his dinners. He was personally, emotionally involved with everything that he ate for dinner. So we're going to withhold our address because of that. And I'm going to withhold my address simply because I'm out here now as a country girl. And I do go for late night walks at night, and I don't want people to be coming up and either seeking autographs or taking my left ear or something like that as a souvenir and running back to New York and saying, I got her left ear. So, but we will get a post office box, and you can send us letters and mail or whatever you'd like, or toys or champagne truffles. They're the pricey ones, I know, but mommy does like them. So anyway, you can send us mail at the post office box once we get that registered. And done too. All right. I'm not telling you the town we're in, but I will tell you that the towns include Wayne, Berwyn, Malvern, Westchester. There are a whole bunch of them along here, and they are all just delightful and charming. And it is wonderful. I've moved to a three-story house, and it is five times the space we had in New York. Five times the space we had for $1,100 less. It's not that I have an island in my kitchen. It's that the island is Iceland. That's what the island is. We have a two-story high living room, which has too much sunlight. Mummy's actually trying to figure out what to do with the 1830s antiques, mahogany antiques and everything. You can't just hang art and put antiques in the middle of blazing sun. We have a back deck. I don't have a huge garden at all, but I will be planting things. For those of you that are curious, I did move my French bronze street lamp from 1840. It's currently in my garage. But will be installed fairly soon, I think, unless I donate it to the town square here. There's all sorts of things going on. We're unpacking, and we're finding out what furniture we need to acquire. We're going to be clever and careful because we don't want to acquire too much. But we have literally five times the space we had. It's an enormous amount of space for $1,100 less. We will be getting a car. Mummy is – I don't think I'll be driving. I think I'll let nice George drive, but I might be. I'm looking into all sorts of new things. And Gwendolyn and I, in addition to doing our podcast every Monday night from here, are also looking into expanding our adventures. Gwendolyn and I might be doing a visual podcast, a broadcast, in which case daughtersadvice.com would be our head sponsor, and we would actually do visuals from here, and that would be quite exciting because we have a little studio that we've built into this townhouse. So George has his studio for QVC. Since we're still doing remotes for QVC, no one is going into QVC except the actual anchors and a couple of models, but no one touches anyone anymore. The models don't walk up to the anchors don't walk up to the brand ambassadors. So George is still doing remotes from our place here, around the clock. He was on at 2:30 this morning for QVC and Logo. And so I will use that studio also, and maybe I will be doing podcasts from here until everything loosens up and we can start doing live bingo and trivia shows. So there's questions that have been answered. Please call in. The number again is 323-784-9639. We're taking phone calls. And now I can take a breath. Gwendolyn, I'm a suburbanite like you now. I'm a suburbanite. Who would have thought Target and Wegmans would be my best friends? Wegmans and Target, you can throw food on the floor and lick it off the floor. It is astounding how civilized and beautiful. I don't approve of getting rid of small town stores and mom and pop businesses with these big mega corporations. I'm sorry that happened. And I think it's horrible. But I must say that Wegmans is God's gift. And Target, the Targets we've gone to, God's gift. Unbelievable. The only complaint I have with each of them is that people are still there's not enough Clorox wipes or large jars of Skippy peanut butter or wet ones or Lysol spray. Oh, my God, you'd think I was looking for the Hope Diamond. Lysol spray, you can't find it anywhere. I've actually Googled, is Lysol spray out of business? Is Clorox counter wipes, are they out of business? It's like, where did it go? Because people aren't being allowed to hoard them anymore. You're not allowed to buy 12 of them when you go in. So I don't understand why it's not being replenished yet. It just seems weird. But other than that, you could literally throw food on the floor of my Wegmans. And there are four Wegmans around me, so I could go to any one of them. And you could literally lick it off the floor. And each one of them is the size of Rhode Island. They're gigantic. George and I have to actually make phone calls in different time zones to each other to find each other from aisle 13 to aisle 1. It's like, oh, my God. He's actually in the central time zone when he goes into the meat department. And the meat department is literally the size of Toledo, Ohio. It's, oh, my God, it's huge. The whole place is massive. And the people that work there are charming and lovely. And they don't tolerate no masks. The other day, there was a guy that walked into that Wegmans with no mask on. Yeah, he was covered in employees like hornets. They were on him like he had stumbled into a wasp nest, and they were stinging and insulting him. And I was thrilled. I couldn't have pointed and laughed harder. Some stupid, you know, yokel from wherever wandering around a Wegmans with no mask on, you know. Anyway, so I'm a suburbanite girl like you now. I wear my A-line dresses and my Lucille Ball, like, you know, cloth coat and my little chapeau and go in and shop with the other ladies. It's quite nice. Where's Pamela tonight? I wanted to tell her. Pamela Jett, where are you? I want you to know that I haven't done one of her recipes yet, but I've unpacked my all-clad and my wooden utensils, and I've started cooking a little bit.
We do have actually a caller and one that keeps coming and dropping and coming and dropping, but I will open up our 716 mic right now. Hello, caller.
Okay. Hi, it's Pamela.
Pamela, is you? Pamela, why does your phone keep dropping in and out, in and out, in and out?
No, it's one below.
Oh, someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. Pamela, I want you to know that I've been unpacking and unwrapping from the bubble wrap all my all-clad and my wooden utensils and my Bakelite utensils from the 30s and everything, and putting them in the crock by the kitchen and everything. And every time I do it, I think, oh, Pamela's going to be happy. Pamela's going to be happy. You'd think I'd be thinking of my own husband. But no, I'm thinking of you and all the people that love me to cook. Now there's no window beside my stove. Anyway, my view out my window is a sliding glass door adjacent to my kitchen, the little eat-in breakfast nook, which is adjacent to my kitchen. That doesn't include the formal dining room. But so the breakfast nook has a sliding glass door out onto the deck, which is on the second story of the hill that rolls down behind us. And then there's trees everywhere. I'm gonna post photos. And it's quite lovely. We're placed in this community, this little community of townhouses, beautifully. Some people don't have quite the great location we have, but we have a lovely location with trees all around us and everything. And I've started cooking, but I haven't done anything from scratch yet. I haven't done my meatballs or your pierogies or anything like that. But I promise you, I will be doing some of the fat lady recipes, and especially your grandmother's recipes. I will be doing those. So stay tuned.
Oh, I will. I will. I just had to say I'm watching your videos because I do actually watch your little tourettes. And,
oh, I love them.
What tickled me the most was when you were in, we call it Target, not Target.
Yes,
when
of
you
course.
Were in Target and you're buying in bulk now.
Yeah. Well, Pamela,
the large quantities of things.
Listen, this is the dirty little secret. Mummy always bought in bulk, but as much bulk as one can get in New York. But when I bought the White Cloud or the Charmin toilet paper, extra soft, by the way, I bought the jumbo. I bought the what's the largest roll? Is the jumbo roll? I didn't buy the large roll. I didn't buy the mega roll. I bought whatever the largest roll is. It's the mega roll. Is the large? It's a roll that's like a bowling ball. And I bought the 36 pack. So I would walk out of there with a huge wall of toilet paper rolls under my arm. There was no bag that would carry. So I had to walk down the street with a wall of toilet paper tucked under my arm from Gristiti's to my apartment, with people pointing and laughing, saying, "Oh, look, Sybil Brunson really does wipe her ass." And it was, you know, I did that because I've been broke at different times in my life, and frequently I've been poor much more than I've been rich. I learned long ago, long, long ago, back when I was eating cat food, darling, Mummy diced onions and garlic and put them into cat food and sauteed them. And what's interesting about that is that Bunny and Gideon, my two marmalade cats, my two orange cats, the first night that I actually had to eat cat food because I'd run out of food, but they had supplies, I sauteed it, and they refused to eat cat food out of a can ever again. They would simply look at me when I would put it in their bowls. Nine Lives, Friskies, all of those canned foods, when I would put them in the bowl, they would look at me and do everything but cross their arms and tap their feet. It was like, what? And it was like they wanted me to get busy, cook their cat food, saute it, make it all caramelized and delicious, and then, you know, add things to it and make it wonderful, and then serve it to them, you know, with a candle and a linen napkin. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I've been poor enough to eat cat food at different times in my life. And believe me, I learned back then to buy in bulk, buy large sizes, and buy large quantity, both quantity and size runs. So I'm looking for the large jar of Skippy peanut butter. I'm looking for the 36 rolls of the mega rolls. And I'm still doing it. It's no different now than it was then. So
where would you keep it in New York? Because your apartment must have been so small.
It was. But what I did was I threw out Fine Antiques to store 36 rolls of toilet paper. I threw out the Louis the 15th chair so that I would have enough room to have 36 rolls of toilet paper for a different kind of throne. No, I mean, I was clever. Mummy was clever. You know, I'm someone who could make a dollar look like $100. And I was someone who could turn the vanity under a bathroom sink into a solid brick of supplies. One thing that I did, and this is an old thing, many people know that I wrapped my steam pipe in my bathroom with rope. I showed how to do that when I first moved in so that you wouldn't burn your ass off, you know, in a New York apartment with those exposed steam pipes, you know, that go to radiators. So I showed how to wrap that with rope. I also, the first thing I did when I moved into my apartment back then, and in other apartments, all my apartments in New York, I have a power drill, and I have little brackets, and I'd pay my super to make me shelves that would go under the sinks in the kitchen and the bathroom, so that instead of having that vast, open, two-story-high vanity under the bathroom sink, or under the kitchen sink, I would have cross shelves there that would hold all that other stuff. My God, I would have half shelves, you know, and all that, and they would be filled with, you know, cleansers and bulk items. But I would get all of those items. So, you know, in the back on the bottom of the bathroom vanity was the 36 rolls stacked and tucked neatly in there, along with the Dr. Bronner's, you know, shampoo and the jumbo size of that, the jumbo size of everything, the value pack of the four tubes of toothpaste in the large size,
right.
All of it. There was no storage that was empty in my house, in my apartment, and never has been. Here, I have cabinets that I actually have thought about turning into rumpus rooms. I've actually thought about putting a pool table under the bathroom sink in the guest bathroom. It's like I've got space forever. It's like living in Wyoming. It's just the house is Wyoming. And, you know, I have an island in my kitchen. The island is Iceland. It's like I have space. It's wonderful. So it's lovely. I'm living like you. You're a suburbanite.
Right? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And once you have the space, you'll never want to go back to anything smaller.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about that. Well, and that goes for the quiet. I have no effing – I'm not using the F word. I'm trying to be good to Gwendolyn. I have no upstairs neighbor. I have no upstairs neighbor.
Isn't it wonderful?
I am so sick to death of psychotic upstairs neighbors, whether claim to be Ford models or whether they claim to be psychiatrists at Mount Sinai Hospital. And who knows what they are? They're none of those things. The Ford model I used to live under was like, come on. She would come in at 3 in the morning on a Wednesday. Since when does a model come in at 3 in the morning on a Wednesday? If she's got a shoot the next day, she's up at 5 in the morning getting ready for a 6 o'clock appearance on a set. It's like, she was obviously a cheap, coked out whore. And the shrink that we had, who was stomping around all the time, if he was a shrink, I don't know what kind. He was either medicating or he should have been medicated or who knows what he was doing, but he was crazy as well. We have no upstairs neighbor. What we do have is we have a neighbor on one side of us and on the other side of us, but these townhouses are fire brick. They are made fireproof.
Okay.
And the construction is unbelievable. So the first day that we moved in or that we looked at it, this is a month ago now practically, we ran into our next door neighbors and we asked them, we said, you know, we're thinking about moving here, but we want it to be really quiet because we're very quiet. He said, oh, it's the most quiet place in the world. He said, watch this. He jumped off his deck. He went into the house and he put his music on full blast, right? And closed the glass door. He closed the glass door behind him. And so we could hear that he turned his music on because we were out on our deck and he was out on his deck and the realtor was with us. And he closed the glass door, the double pane, thermopane sliding glass door with a seal, you know, whatever those famous window companies are, the seal sealed it. And we could not hear anything in our living room. Nothing.
Wow.
It was dead silent. And it was like, oh my God, oh my God. And we're on a cul-de-sac here. So we're on, we're even in this community, we're not even on a thoroughfare. We're on a cute little roundabout dead end. And it's – so there's no through traffic. It's ridiculously quiet. Literally, when I go outside after the show tonight, if the crickets aren't cricketing, my ears will be ringing from the quiet. What that quiet is like, right? It's the weirdest sound. You can't get it at Fire Island because there's the ocean, the soft roll of the ocean. Even on a quiet night, you'll still hear the whisper of the ocean. I'm telling you, there's nothing here. Nothing. It's absolutely alarming. It's so wonderful. Space, quiet, sanity.
I have, when people visit me, it's funny because they'll come from a busy city or whatever, and they'll come here. They go, how do you sleep here?
Yes.
They're like, it's so quiet. You know, I'm afraid that I, you know, I'm like, how do you sleep here? There's no traffic. There's no nothing.
Right. And if you actually have dead silence, really dead silence, you can hear your own body. So you're hearing your ears ring because there's nothing going on. So your eardrums are literally vibrating because they're vibrating because there's blood pumping through them. I mean, you're just hearing your own system. to belch in those circumstances is to terrify yourself. You know what I mean? A fart could scare the shit out of you because it's a sudden explosive sound that came from nowhere, and you realize, oh my God, that's me farting. I mean, but other than that, it's just dead silence, and it is paradise. It is paradise.
It is.
It is sheer heaven. Oh, I'm just
it is. And
so.
I thought about, because I don't live close to where I work. I live probably about a good 45 minutes to an hour away. Because I work in Orlando, but I live out towards Davenport and Lakeland.
I know you told
Gwendolyn
and me. You told us, yeah.
So, and I refuse to.
I'm afraid for you out there. Pamela, I'm afraid for you. When I think about you cooking your pierogies and your nice things and you're alone in the house, I start to think of, have you checked the children? I start to think that phone call is coming from another part of the house. I start to think about, like, Stephen King. I start to think about the Clutter family, you know, in Cold Blood. I start to think about, wait a minute, maybe you're too isolated there. What if the alligator people decide to come and, you know, break into your house and you're by yourself? What if your life turns into a 1950s Republic Pictures horror film? You know, that's
right.
Like, I'm afraid for you, Pamela. Anyway, go on. Tell us about what it's like to live there.
I do want to also say that where I'm from, up in Western New York, where Wegmans actually is originated from, in Rochester. So I know all about Wegmans, and when you talk about it, it kind of hits me at home because that store is paradise.
Oh. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'd like to meet Mr. and Mrs. Wegman and thank them myself and throw my arms around them once it's allowed. Obviously, they're 98 years old by now. But, I mean, I would give anything.
No, actually, he just died not too long ago. So, yes, he has passed. His son.
Oh, so I could hug him then with no problem.
Yes.
How old was he? Was he a wonderful old guy?
He was. And it's actually, Wegmans was considered one of the best places to work because they really take care of their employees.
Yeah,
I'm loving this story because when we go to Wegmans, and we've been to a couple of them around here, it's just the people that work there are lovely. I mean, my God, Mummy might go and apply for a job, although I don't think they hire people who are 111 years old. But I mean, it seems to be such a happy environment, and the employees are talking and visiting and are so ready to be helpful to shoppers like me who have questions and everything. It's just amazing. I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled. It's yet another reason that I feel like I won the lottery with this move.
Right. I mean,
and I was prepared, folks.
Impeccable.
I was prepared to be heartbroken. You know that my separation anxiety from my possessions, from my beautiful home, from New York City in general, all my memories in New York, all the people that I've loved and lost there, that city is one giant Stephen Sondheim's Follies theater to me. I can walk in any neighborhood and see my ghosts everywhere, and the ghosts of my beautiful, happy memories and the people that I loved and the wonderful adventures that I had. They're everywhere in that city, everywhere, from the Bronx to Staten Island. They're everywhere. The Statue of Liberty has one visit, more like 10 visits there with people that I loved. My ghosts, and I'm talking about happy ghosts, happy memory ghosts, are everywhere. I was ready to be wringing my hands here in this house and in this adventure for months and perhaps forever. And the first night I came here, I'm getting emotional. I slept here and the day was horrible. The move was horrible. The movers got cranky. Right. It was 98 degrees. They got cross because they got caught at breaking things and not wrapping things properly. And, you know, Mummy wasn't ugly about it, but I said, hey, folks, we're paying a lot of money for this. And look at this. And they tried to deny it. They tried to make it out that it was the storage company that done it. And it got very testy. And then we ended on a good note and everything was fine. Everyone had their, you know, their tips and their drugs and their drink and their presents that I gave them and everything. And they went away. But that night, I took a cold shower. I washed all of the day's salt and dirt and angst off me. And we were in this house. And I thought, Pamela, Gwendolyn, I thought to myself, when I looked out the window, I thought to myself, have I been living here for 3 years? There was no transition. there was no, like, when is this going to change? It was as if with cardboard boxes stacked to the ceiling, with light bulbs not in sockets, you know, it was as if I had lived here for 3 years. I fell into it, and it has made me question the most core issues about my philosophy of life and everything. It's like, dear God, and that's why I keep saying, I didn't leave New York. New York City left me, and I'd known about it for a while. You know, I'm talking to you too, like you're my girlfriends. I'm talking to you like a battered wife who's saying, you know what? I finally divorced him, and I got into witness protection, and I'm away
right.
from my bad husband. And I knew that marriage to New York had been problematic for a while, but I made the best of it. I did my little tourettes and my cute little pictures and my cute little recipes and my sweet little Sybil Brunchen unsinkable, you know, Molly Brown, you know, stuff about Sybil and all of that. I did all that. But inside, New York had been screwing its working class and its citizens and its minorities. And Wall Street had been a snarky, snarling, self-centered shithole. All of that, that one percenter, that landlord thing, it had all been staining New York City for decades. And it had gotten worse and worse. And people blame it on COVID. Screw COVID. COVID is not even the cherry on the ice cream sundae. It is nothing compared to what had happened in the 90s and over the last 20 years. And I did not leave New York. New York left me. And that's why when I woke up that first morning, just this past week, in our bedroom with the sun pouring in through the two windows and the leaves of the trees waving back and forth and dead silence, except for birds chirping, it was as if I had been gotten into witness protection. Not only was I divorced, not only did I have an order of protection against New York, I had escaped because Olivia Benson and Chris Maloney from Law and Order had saved me and taken me away. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Anyway, I went off on a tangent on that, but I know exactly what you are thinking, right now out there in the, you know, it's so lovely that you're living in a quiet place in Florida, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it's kind of quiet
anyway,
down here.
Kind of, but Port St. Lucie, I've been there. Aren't you pretty close to town?
Oh, yeah, we are, but we're in a suburb, you know. So
a suburb, but, yeah, I guess, yeah.
We have preserves all around us, so it doesn't seem like we're in the city, and you can't hear big city.
Oh, that's true.
Except
that's
for
very true.
Sirens. We do hear the sirens.
You have sirens?
Little thing I wanted to inject, you guys are talking about the wonderful Wegmans that we all love and miss, except for you now, Mummy. But, you know, it started out as, do you know, Pamela, what it started out as?
No.
It started out in Rochester as the Rochester Fruit and Vegetable Company in 1912 or somewhere around there.
Wow. So it was
just
a vegetable company. It was like a greengrocer.
Oh, it was like a greengrocer, yeah, but they were big on fruits. I know because they got a lot of fruits from El Winger and Berry.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, it's like I said, it's paradise. And we're still Ubering everywhere because we haven't leased a car yet. We're not going to buy a car. What is that? What was that?
It was my phone, Mommy.
My God. I was afraid Pamela was being attacked by aliens from another planet. She's in the middle of nowhere. A flying saucer could come down and take her away. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. But, you know, these things happen. It was a technical slip. It was a phone ring.
Just so you get an idea of of the size of what I live in. The census had, the last census that was done in Davenport, there were 2,888 people.
Oh, my
wow.
goodness.
Wow.
That's wild. That is so wild. The census that we just filled out, because we did that because of, we're moving here, we had to state that we had the same density of population as Idaho in this apartment. It was very disturbing. There's one person per square mile here in this apartment. So I was like, oh, my God. I mean, it's just – literally, George has to call me from a different floor to let me know that it's time. We have become those millennial children who call each other from different floors because there's no way to contact the other person. It's like at Wegmans, we call each other because we're in different time zones. Here, we have to call because it's like, oh, my God. It's huge, huge. And it's also interesting because people who aren't used to living in space. Now, Pamela, you're used to living isolated and in space. So late at night by yourself there.
Pamela's call actually dropped on her. So I'm waiting for her to call back.
Oh, okay. Well, Pamela, though, when she gets back on, or and by the way, other people, please call in 323-784-9639.
You do have a caller waiting who's been waiting quite a while.
Okay, hello. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this? Pamela?
Is this Mummy?
Yes, who's calling?
It's George from New Orleans.
George, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mummy. I'm doing very well. And I miss you.
Yes, go on. What were you saying?
I miss you, and I'm sending you big hugs and kisses from New Orleans, where I moved out of New York 5 years ago.
Wow. Now, we were talking just a minute ago with Pamela. Did you go through a withdrawal period where you were, like, aching for New York and sorry you'd left and everything?
No, I did not.
So you hit the ground running there. You were just thrilled.
Yes. And yeah. New Orleans is a wonderful town. Until COVID hit, there was a lot of acting work going on here. I'm still doing a lot of voiceover work. But,
oh, really?
We have a beautiful house in one of the nicer neighborhoods of New Orleans, and I applaud you for moving out of New York as well.
Well, it wasn't my choice. You know, we moved because George had work, and we had to move. We had to follow where the work was. Do you miss Cincinnati at all? George?
Do I miss Cincinnati? I have never
I'm sorry. This is the wrong – I have a different George. I'm sorry. I have Georges all over my life. George, what's your last name?
Trahanis.
Wait, but weren't you – yes, George, that's what I thought. But didn't you live in Cincinnati at one point?
No, I lived in Pittsburgh before I moved to New York.
That's right. Pittsburgh, that's right. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, they're all the same, darling. Really, for us New Yorkers, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, they're all, it's Bayonne, Akron, they're all that.
Oh, exactly.
Once you've lived in New York, you've lived, and that's the resume. Now, that's a town to put on your resume, New York. And then, so, what were the circumstances of you moving to New Orleans, though? What was it, work, or was it you were just disgusted with New York? What was it that did it?
Well, my husband, Robert, had been talking about – he is from the South. He's from Alabama. And he's been talking about not wanting to spend that many more years in New York because of the weather, because of the craziness in the arts community. And we took a trip down to New Orleans in 2015 just to look around, and we fell in love with it. And before I knew it, we had bought a house. We still have a pied-à-terre in New York. But because of the quarantine and all of that going on, we haven't been able to get up there in about 8 months. But
where's your pied-à-terre in New York City?
It's in Cobble Hill.
Oh my goodness, how lovely. How lovely.
Yeah, and I had had it since 1981.
How smart you were to buy that. Or do you rent it?
Oh, honey, I didn't buy it. I'm still renting it, but the rent is so dirt cheap because our landlord who lives in the building loves us, and so we keep it.
Lucky you. You're very lucky to have a landlord who's very kind and respectful and everything, because
well, to,
that is
well,
not the way of New York.
Well, to give you an idea of how close we are, they now have a daughter who is, she's 30-something now. I remember the night they brought her home from the hospital. So that's how long I have lived there.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Amazing. That's amazing. So what is it, a one-bedroom studio? What sort of an apartment is it?
It was a whole third floor of a brownstone.
In Cobble Hill, in one of those
mm-hmm.
beautiful brownstone homes in Cobble. Oh, my God. Cobble Hill is lovely. Those neighborhoods are so charming. Brooklyn Heights, Cobble Hill,
yes.
All of
oh,
that.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations on that. For those of you who don't know, George and I used to work together at the Gay Cable Network back in the 1980s.
Right.
And that was back when cable was 10 channels,
mm-hmm.
A through J,
mm-hmm.
and it was on a little box. And the way I would describe it for people who don't remember what cable was like back then, it was like, well, it's kind of like your whatever that little box is that you get cable with now, that little black box that's beside, what is it called? It's not a COVID, it's a MOVID, a MOFI, what's the little box that they put on your beside your TV that has all the computer and the internet in it?
The DVR?
Whatever that. No, it's not a VCR, darling. Come on. No, it's not
DVR.
A VCR. Oh.
A DVR.
Is that what it's called? The other day we had one installed here, and I don't remember him calling that, but isn't that what the old cable box was like, with 10 switches on top, 10 little push buttons,
mm-hmm,
A
mm-hmm,
through J,
mm-hmm.
and then a little toggle switch, and you turned it on to get back into cable, and then you turned it off to go back to UHF, etc., and VHF, whatever,
right,
and depend
right.
on your rabbit ears or the antenna on top of your building. And that's what cable was like when George and I were doing the Gay Cable Network. And on Channel J, it was Gay Cable Network, Robin Bird, and Al Goldstein. That's what Channel J, that, and it was called the Porn Channel. It wasn't really a porn channel, but it was public access. And that's where people, because of the First Amendment, could go to post whatever they wanted, short of actual pornographic sex acts being done. You could be naked on that TV channel and, you know, do Robin Bird's, you know, striptease thing with, you know, strippers and, you know, dresses, Jesse James or Wyatt Earp or whatever. You know, just absurd things. And George and I were in the Gay Cable Network, and that's where we met. And it was, what an adventure. And it feels like 1,000 years ago.
It does feel like 1,000 years ago.
And George, you and I are still alive. I mean,
we certainly are.
Everyone around us is gone back then. All people, the hordes of people that worked at the Gay Cable Network, both there and in Cincinnati. Hello, Cincinnati. We love you. All the people, Jeff Bixby and Stephen Buscher and Scott Knox. And oh my God, it goes just on and on. All the people there. Mark Bailey.
And remember Michael Wyand?
Michael Wyand's still alive and well. He's in Cincinnati. Michael Wyand passed. Michael Lehman, who was the music director for all our shows. Michael Wyand passed a long time ago. Yes.
And Ed Nicholas just passed about a month and a half ago.
Oh, Ed Nicholas passed. Oh,
yeah, he was
my.
In a car. He'd been living in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, and I sent him birthday greetings on Facebook, and I never heard from him. And then I'm still in touch with Andy Hum, and Andy Hum told me, oh, no, Ed was in a car accident, and he passed. So we are two of the last of the Mohicans, so to speak.
We are literally two of the characters in Agatha Christie's Ten Little Indians. It's one by one by one. To be involved in the gay cable network is to be murdered one way or another. It's just, I feel the same way in the Imperial Court of New York. I was the first empress of the Imperial Court of New York and all those founding members. To be a member and to be made into a lord or a lady or a count or a countess. I said countess, everybody, listen carefully. And to be any of those things, it was like being one of the Romanovs. I mean, one by one by one, they all went, they all are gone from the great plague of the 80s and 90s. It's just amazing. But we saw the blooming of cable, 10 channels,
right.
And there was no remote.
Right.
There was, folks at home, there was no remote.
Right.
You got up from your chair and you went over to the little black box and you had to switch the toggle thing to from your TV normal to cable, okay? And then you stood there and pushed the A, the B, the C. You pushed the little push buttons and the thing would – and 90% of the television programming on the cable channels – George will remember this, and so will Gwendolyn, was blank because those slots had not been filled yet.
We had like these IBM computer readouts with a colored background on them and the middle ones. And we had boxes that had long cords that we could take to the chair with us.
Oh, we didn't have that. No, our cable in New York City – no, they didn't do that. That's the suburbanites. Yeah. No, in New York, you were given a box that was tucked under your TV set, and that was as long as the cable was going to be. And this is what people got cable for. Listen to this. This is really fascinating because I'm going to put this in my memoir show, my nightclub memoir show about the gay cable network. People today get cable because they want 10,000 channels. I'm stunned at the service difference between here, what I just got this week, and what I had in New York, because the upgraded high definition service that I have, even now, with the new box and the new this and the new all of that, I have even more channels. It's boggling. And I can speak to my remote and say Lydia Bastianich, and at the top of the screen, Lydia Bastianich is printed out by the computer. And then it shows me all the channels that Lydia is cooking her food on. And I can select which one. Okay. I didn't have that in New York. Okay. Okay. People get cable so that they can talk to their TV like you talk to Alexa, and they literally can find America's Test Kitchen at 4 a.m. on three different channels. Okay. That's what people
Sybil,
today.
Sybil, darling, let me interrupt for a minute. I need to run. I'm being called to dinner.
Oh.
But I wanted to get on and say hello and send you
my
love.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bore you.
No. Oh, perish the thought. You could never bore me. Forget it, please. But I did.
Well, anyway,
hubby has been in the kitchen, and I'm told it's time to eat, so I will have to go.
Good.
But we'll
text each
again.
Other this week, and I will try and do the pierogies recipe this week. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, darling. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Anyway, I got totally discombobulated there because I was just thinking it was Pam as George. But this was the punchline of what I was trying to say, is that people back then, Gwendolyn, when we first got cable, people didn't care about the channels because there was nothing. We cared about the reception. Do you remember that the first time you got cable, you didn't depend on antennas anymore? You didn't depend on the antenna on your roof. You didn't and depend on rabbit ears. In New York City, people, you in an apartment building, you were lucky if your landlord had a wire going to the roof, to your apartment, to an antenna. Mostly, you had to depend on your own little rabbit ears in your apartment. Do you remember?
I kind of remember that. When I was in boarding school, I came home, and I was really young, but I remember American Cable was the guy lived like across the drink from us, who started it, and installed, of course, in his own neighborhood first. And I came home and found that box. with the cord, and I was like, what's this?
What's this?
But, and do you remember the only thing you could get was WPIX from New York and TBS and HBO?
Well, we could get those things without cable. I could get a PBS channel in New York, and I could get those things.
No, TBS, but... Turner Broadcast System, TBS, which is still going, and now they have the other TNT.
And AMC and Turner, right, Broadcast, TBS,
AMC.
Were both on cable. That's true. But the
AMC.
One thing that people wanted in New York City, they didn't care about, they didn't know about Turner Broadcasting System, and they didn't know about that, the AMC yet. They didn't care about that. What they cared about was that in a snowstorm, in a thunderstorm, they would not have to worry about their reception, because reception was all cable. And so you had perfect reception. My TV set, the first TV that I ever had on the cable system, was a little 20-inch black and white portable TV. That's how broke I was. And I had a portable black and white TV hooked up to cable, and the reception was instantly a miracle. Even though that TV set was smaller than most microwave ovens are now, it was just like, it was a little portable black and white, you know, sitting on a desk. And but the reception, I tucked the rabbit ears down into it. I folded them down, pushed them back down, condensed them, and then pushed them back down on the back. And that was, the rabbit ears were gone. And we had perfect reception, whatever we put on. But the interesting thing was that the cable channels had the logo for Time Warner Cable on for hours. And you'd be switching the switch, going from A to B to C to D. And then you'd do it on the hour or the half hour. Because on the half hour or the hour, like at 11:30 or at 10 p.m. or whatever, there would be this blip. It would blip. It would go blip, 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 blip. Blip, 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 and the screen would be jumping, and you'd know that something was about to come on, and sure enough, someone's homemade show would come on, or Turner Broadcasting would come, or something would come on for that slot, and you'd hope that it would be on for a while, like TBS was more, and Home Box Office, once HBO, once it started getting going, was
more.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
And AMC was more. But the other shows, the public access networks, oh my God, had like a Time Warner logo. You had that, which was like the old Indian logo from the 1950s when network TVs would sign off, and they would have that picture of Cochise with all the geometrics around it, you know, for a sign off, the national anthem.
Yeah.
And then they would go blank, and it would be that hissing sound as the Cochise would come on, you know. And it was like, oh my God. So
wait,
funny. I'm looking at the time. Look at the time. I know, I blabbed too much tonight. Oh, well, folks, I answered your questions about my move. I'm in the suburb of Philadelphia. I'm in Pennsylvania. Yes, it's a purple state. Yes, I'm going to vote. Our show, Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio network, studio, has been brought to you on Blog Talk Radio Network by DaughtersOfIsis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do check out their products tonight. And next week, Gwendolyn and I will be talking about a fragrance that would be appropriate for the suburbs. We didn't even talk about a fragrance tonight, but we will next week. Go to their site, though, DaughtersOfIsis.com. Check out all their products. They have 500 products there. And, remember, DaughtersOfIsis.com is the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and they are our sponsor every week. And so are you. Thank you, people who have been helping to sponsor our program. You can find Gwendolyn and me on our Facebook pages, and you can find Mummy on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com, and SybilBrunchen.com, and on Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild. We will be back here Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, here live. Gwendolyn and I will be here. And Gwendolyn, I think you're going to send us out with our little jingle, aren't you?
I am. Thank you so much, Mommy.
No, thank you, Gwendolyn. I love you.
Okay. I preambled too quick.
I love you, Gwendolyn.
I love you, too. Shall I sign us out?
Good night.
Good night.